May only God's word be spoken, and may only God's word be heard. Amen. Please be seated. The church is often a little out of sync with the rest of society. I mean, just look at what time we've all gathered on a Sunday morning together. Or look at these clothes that we're wearing up here. This isn't quite normal as the world sees it. And one of the ways that we embody the out of syncness with the world is with our church calendar. While we still have a month and a half until we're popping champagne bottles and setting off fireworks on New Year's Eve, we only have 2 weeks left until we start a new year in the church on the first Sunday of Advent. And so we are now at the end of the year. And as we approach the end of the year, our lectionary gives us readings about endings. And most every year, it's usually about the big ending, the end of the world. We don't spend much time talking as Episcopalians about the apocalyptic scripture. That's what we call this literature about the end of the world, apocalyptic. We don't really know what to make of it. We've left it to other denominations, which is unfortunate because, first, the scriptural apocalyptic worldview is nothing like what you see on television with those televangelists and all their signs and their big PowerPoint presentations of all of the ways the world's about to end, and they might even give you a date, right? You've seen that before. And it's nothing like the Left Behind series or that bumper sticker I saw a few weeks ago, in case of rapture, this car will be driverless. It is nothing like that. And second, it's unfortunate because we live in apocalyptic times. Whether it's nuclear war, climate change, ocean dead zone, species loss, ecosystem collapse, the end of antibiotics, a super virus that will take over the world just a matter of days because of air travel, artificial intelligence robots that get out of hand, an asteroid hitting the Earth, or that impending earthquake from the Cascadia subduction zone. There are a lot of scary scenarios for the world to end. This election season, both the campaign and the aftermath, has felt apocalyptic for many. Jesus was no stranger to apocalyptic thinking. It was rampant in his day. You can feel the disciples' anxiety in today's reading as they ask him when the end will come. And it wasn't a hypothetical that people would come and say the time is near, as Jesus warns. They had already been doing that for a long time. The disciples were surrounded by fear and anxiety, scared of existential threats to their lives and their community. They were afraid of the end. Our collect today, our opening prayer, encourages us to hear, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest Scripture. And if we did this, we begin to see that Scripture has three responses to our apocalyptic worries. First, we do not know when it's going to happen. There is no date that can be given to you. As we hear Jesus say today in the Gospel, when you see the signs, when you see wars and insurrections and nations rising against nations and plagues and great earthquakes, you know, pretty much all those things that we just listed that scare us, the storyline of so many summer blockbusters. When you hear of these things, you aren't there yet. Basically, the signs aren't really signs, if you want to read them that way. Elsewhere, Jesus says that you cannot know the day or the hour. And he says that it will come like a thief in the night. Which brings us to the second thing that Scripture teaches us Apocalyptic thinking is not about predicting some awful future, but it's about living right now in this present moment. Be awake. Be prepared for when that thief comes in the night. Or to put it another way, act both as if the end of the world will never come, and act as if it's coming tomorrow. Spend every day, spend this day, acting in love and charity and mercy. Spend each day loving God and loving your neighbor. Nothing should change that. Not a single one of the signs that you fear should change how you act in this present. Keep putting one foot in front of the other, no matter how bad it gets, and keep working for justice and peace, respecting the dignity of every human being, as our baptismal covenant puts it. Whenever awful, possibly apocalyptic things threaten, we have to keep following Jesus, evermore being transformed into the embodiment of Christ's loving and healing hands and heart, to not be weary in doing what is right, as Paul puts it this morning. We have to live each day as citizens of the kingdom of God, even as we live as citizens of a nation and a world. Another time, when Jesus is talking about the end of the world, he directly links the outcome to what we are doing right now. Are we feeding the hungry? Are we giving drink to the thirsty? Are we clothing the naked? Are we welcoming the stranger? Are we visiting the prisoner? Are we taking care of the sick and the injured? These were all the questions Jesus asked when talking about the end of the world. How did you live your life in this present moment? I suspect there are many more questions Jesus would add today. Are we caring for the oppressed? Are we working to end racism in all of its nasty forms? Are we caring for God's creation, which we have for the first time in our lives, the ability to dramatically and irreversibly alter? How are you acting in this present moment to love your neighbor and to love God's creation and to love God? Talk About the End is designed to lead us to action in this present moment. The third thing that the apocalyptic literature does is to remind us to hold on to hope. Hope that God is ultimately doing better things than we can ask for or imagine. Hold on to a hope that out there on the horizon is the heavenly city, the new Jerusalem, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Hold on to the hope of a world in which the wolf and the lamb can safely share a meal together and the lion becomes a vegetarian. A world utterly transformed in peace, as Isaiah shares this morning. This is not to suggest that we should just quickly move on from the very legitimate fears and grief that we may have. Even Jesus wept. Sorrow and lament are very legitimate and faithful responses to tragic and scary and even traumatic events. And it's okay to dwell there for a while. I often think as a society we move on too quickly. Our society encourages us to numb pain and get over our sorrow, which can prevent us from doing the necessary work within ourselves to fully heal. But Scripture is saying that when you are ready, when you are able, and when you are willing to lift your head back up, if even just for a moment, even if you put that head back down for a while and continue to grieve, if you can do it for a moment and look up to the horizon, God is offering us a vision in which we can place our hope, a hope that will not disappoint us. Nor does this hope mean that we give up trying to prevent these apocalyptic scenarios just because God is working something better out. As many have pointed out, sometimes God's answer to a prayer is for us to go and do the work. The answer to the cry of the Hebrews was not an immediate end to their bondage in Egypt, but the calling of Moses to lead them. God's answer to the cry of the American slaves was not immediate breaking of the chains, but in calling folks like Harriet Tubman, who led the Underground Railroad, and Frederick Douglass, who fought for abolition, and Abraham Lincoln, who worked on the messy work of legislation. Sometimes we are the ones who have to practice resurrection, bringing new life into the world. God sometimes is calling us into the solution. My sisters and brothers in Christ, when you hear of wars and insurrections, of nation rising against nation, when you hear of superviruses and Cascadia earthquakes, when you hear of elections and asteroids in the sky, when you are afraid that a summer disaster blockbuster is coming true in your life, know that it is not the end. And keep living each day, loving God and loving your neighbor. Keep following Jesus and not the fear-mongers who are profiting off your anxiety. Hold on to the hope of God's vision for a new heaven and a new earth, completely and utterly transformed in Christ's love. Start living there today. Amen.